Get closer to Irish rugby with News Talk and Vodafone, official sponsor of the Irish rugby team.
I'm really delighted to say Gerry Flannery has made some time for us. Gerry, thanks for joining us. I must say you're responsible for one of my favourite quotes, really, about sport and about life, really. And it was when you were talking to Jarlath Regan on his brilliant podcast, An Irishman Abroad. And at the end, Jarlath often asks people for a piece of advice. And you said, amongst other things, if you find something you're passionate about, you already have an advantage over other people, as it will never be work for you. It's something you love and that you could spend all day doing. If other people are better than you at the start, don't worry. Keep going and look at the long run. In the long game, you will beat them. If you can find that thing you're passionate about, work hard, be confident and absolutely back yourself, which is just a really brilliant message, I think. I'm wondering at what stage of your life or your career did you realise that that held true?
Well, I suppose it's easy to say once you've actually achieved some of your goals that you realise it. But I think you just have to have a kind of an unwavering belief, if there's such a thing. That, like when I was a kid, I knew I wanted to play for Munster and for Ireland. And I knew there was a lot of players who were an awful lot better than me. But I knew that if I just stuck with it for long enough, that I'd eventually get there. That was kind of, that's being a real simple view of it. But I think that's the same for most people. Whatever your goals are, if you're going to meet challenges and you're going to get knocked back and have setbacks. But if you have a long-term view, you'll eventually get there.
Mm. I presume that the importance of work ethic holds true at all levels. Like, obviously, you spend time at Arsenal where you would think in the face of it, you're just surrounded by some of the most talented sports people around. Like they've made it in this like unbelievable global meritocracy, and you would think it's, you know, talent is all crucial there. I presume we underestimate from the outside just how hard even Premier League players are working.
Yeah, it's strange, you know. I think there's natural ability gets players, we'll get players noticed straight away, but If that isn't backed up with a strong work ethic, you know, they'll eventually get found out. There's a duty of care when you're working with young players there to try and instill in them a work ethic. But it's tough when you're talking to a kid who's on 10 grand sterling a week,
yeah,
and you're telling him he needs to be really, really going after it. And he's like, well, I've never gone after it in my life, and I'm here and I'm earning 10 a week. So
yeah,
what do you know?
You talked there in that quote I mentioned about loving what you do and therefore being able to work harder than someone who maybe doesn't love it in the same way or as much as you. So you could spend all day working to improve as a player. How does that level of love and passion that you had for playing compare to your relationship with coaching?
It's very different. And if I'm honest, I think I kind of came into coaching with a very, very simplistic view. I just wanted to win. And I hadn't really fully embraced. I didn't understand what coaching was enough, you know. I was there, we just got to get these lads together. But as a coach, I think you have to enjoy the process of preparing the players from Monday to Friday and, you know, put them in the best possible position to go and execute on a Saturday. And I probably didn't appreciate that enough at the start, and it was a very, very much outcome based, and my happiness all depended on whether we won or whether we lost. And this year I'm still very young as a coach. I don't have a huge amount of experience, but I'm enjoying it a lot more, and we'll win some games. Like, obviously, we've had a far more successful year with Munster this year, but I'm enjoying, it's just a really good environment to work in. Like, the players are really good players who want to get better, and that makes your job as a coach so much easier. And I suppose getting to work under Rassie and Jack, you know, who have so much experience that I'm learning a lot from them, and then having Felix there as a guy who I'm, you know, I'd be very close to for when I played as well. We're both in the same boat, and we can both, you know, we can turn and bounce things off each other. It's much more enjoyable now, and I think I could, you know, I can start to see why people love coaching now. When I first went in, it was just about winning, and that's a pretty short term view.
I presume as well, like at some stage, your confidence last season must have been really rattled. Like you're in the midst of just your third season on the coaching ticket at Munster. So, you know, last January, the Stade Francais game, that defeat, you know, from afar struck everybody, I think, is an unbelievably difficult point for you and the coaching ticket. I can imagine how low it was. You must have been thinking as well, God, like, what kind of job are we doing here?
Yeah, thinking back on it, like, it was so low, and when I would go and meet my old teammates and stuff like that, I'd be really embarrassed when I meet them. And I felt bad for the players as well, because I just think that we probably, the environment wasn't great for them either. And, you know, when I played with Munster, it was the best time of my life. And that's what I want for current players. Now I want them to look back on their time of playing with Munster and go, geez, this is the best time of my life. And it was far from that. And, you know, it's hard to put it down to one factor, but inexperienced coaches are probably one thing. And we probably didn't have a huge amount of experience through the squad when you consider losing the likes of Paul O'Connell, Felix Jones through retirement. You know, Peter Armani was out for the season with his injury. So
yeah,
we were probably a little bit bereft of leadership there. And for myself and for Axel and for, you know, Squeaks, Brian Walsh, Mikko, you know, and Ian Costello, we didn't have a huge amount of experience either to fall back on. It wasn't like, oh, we've been through this in these tough places before.
You're as shaken as the young players are in some ways.
Yeah. You know, I suppose that's a good way of looking at it. Yeah, and it was really tough. But I suppose I appreciate the good times a whole lot more now. You know,
I can imagine. I saw you were saying to Kieran O'Reilly, you were speaking to him a couple of months ago, and you said that you emailed a player who left over the summer and said, "I'm so sorry that, you know, this was your experience at Munster, because it was the best time of my life and it should be the best time of your life." I thought that was an amazing thing to do. Did the player write back and say, "Hey, no worries"?
I met him in person, you know, a month or so later, and we talked about it. Like, but yeah, I felt he was going to be quite bitter leaving, because it was one of his first times involved in professional rugby, and I felt embarrassed at what I felt he was going to perceive the Munster environment as when it's so far from that. And I suppose when you look at it, like, we still have the same group of players that we had last year there and thereabouts, but the environment is so much better now Yeah, I think experience, having been through the lows, then you don't get rattled as easily. And it's important that, I suppose, your leaders are the ones who stay calm and manage you through that. So
you mentioned there the maybe sense of embarrassment when you meet up with your teammates who obviously were so successful. Did they say anything to make you feel embarrassed, or was it just your own, you were carrying that around with you? Maybe you knew they were probably thinking, what the hell's going on here? I doubt any of them said it to you as explicitly as that, did they?
Yeah, they did, yeah.
Right, okay.
Well,
I guess it wouldn't be a group that wouldn't say it, I guess. They wouldn't hold their tongue, all of them.
Well, I'll be honest with you, when Munster were losing like we were last season, yeah. I'm walking around Limerick, I feel really, you know, my head is down a little bit, you know. I'm trying my best, but like, my head is down because I feel that Munster team represents all of these people here, and if I'm there as a coach, that, like, you know, I'm very, very responsible for the results.
Mm-hmm.
We had a reunion from the 2006 team when the European Cup had a reunion in Spain this season, or last summer, sorry.
Yeah.
And we all got together there, and it was really good, because it reminded me of what I loved about Munster, and we're all in great form. And you know, the lads gave myself and Axel and Mikko a bit of stick, but it was, you know, they were genuinely concerned as well. You know, it wasn't a case of you know, oh, you guys are messing up, because everyone that was involved and played at Munster, they still love it, because it is such a special team to be involved in, that you just don't want to see it. Like, you always want that to be there, that you can go back and go to games and it's still always going to be competitive. So I think there was no badness, and it was more they could see that we were hurting ourselves. You know, we're not like, when I do a bad job at Munster, if I get the sack, I'm still going to be a Munster fan. I'm still going to be walking around Limerick, so I have an obligation to try and do my very best, because the team is always going to be a constant in my life.
Do you feel like you're a good coach now? Not to put too blunt a question, like how long do you think it takes?
I don't know. I don't know if I'm a good coach. I think I try my best. I work as hard as I can, but I think it's just going to take time and making mistakes, hopefully making ones that aren't too big that they derail the team, but learning from them is the important thing. And trying things as well, you know. But the biggest thing I've learned from it is just preparation, and that's what coaching is. It's just preparing as best you can.
Yeah.
And then when you go in, being able to deliver a concise message to the players and listening as well. You know, a lot of times you got to listen to the players, because they're the guys who are out there. They've got to do the job on the field, and they can have some real insights into what you're trying to do. But I can't say I'm a good coach, because if you asked me this time last year, I'd say I was probably the worst coach in the world. But results are going our way now, but I'm definitely learning. I'm definitely improving, and I'm enjoying it, because I've got a, you know, I work with a good group, and I've got a good management team around me as well.
Yeah, you talked there about the environment being much better, and there have been some amazing days this season, and the old Thomond Park atmosphere feels like it's returned for a lot of those days. That must be obviously tinged, for obvious reasons, with a bitter sweetness. Like, is Anthony Foley almost always on your mind in these moments, or can you compartmentalise something like that, or what works for you at this stage?
It's just, I don't even know how to describe it. It's something that happened, and when I think back on it now, or when I try and talk about it with Felix, or it's still something that was like, we weren't part of it. It was just too surreal to believe it happened. And it is very, it is something we talk about every single week. We may not talk specifically about the incident when Axel died, but we talk about Axel all the time.
Right.
And it's, yeah, look, I would happily give up everything that we had here to have Axel back with us. You know, he was the guy who wanted Munster to win more than anything. And if I never coached again beyond this season, it would have been the most incredible, you know, just to see how people came around and rallied around, and to see how mentally tough that group of players were that went out and played against Glasgow that week that we buried Axel. That was just incredible, and it will probably be there for the rest of my life.
Yeah. It's kind of hard to verbalise even some of the emotions, I presume. Like, there's just things you can't really explain or get across in an interview.
Yeah, I know I've probably said this, because I know people are always probably interested in what your perspective on something is when you've gone through something as tragic as that. But like, I can't stress enough how proud I was after the Glasgow game when the ex-players, the guys who I'd been sort of, you know, almost ashamed to look in the eye from the previous season, when I saw how proud they were of the current players. And Dunica Callaghan sent me a great text message, and he just said, like, he said, "I know I shouldn't have come into the dressing room afterwards, but I had to go in and thank those lads." And I know that it wasn't just Dunica. I know Dennis Leamy and David Wallace, Paul O'Connell, you know, for Rog as well. Like, all those lads, if you could have given them boots and got out in the field, they would have played, but that wasn't for them. So to have these other lads who, you know, had probably the most crazy week of preparation, and then had to go out and play against not just a really, really good side as well, you know, in the European Cup, and to put on that kind of performance was amazing. And you know, you always wonder sometimes, is that kind of magic from Munster, is that gone, is that dead, is that spark gone?
Yeah.
And that really showed me that it's there, you know.
Like, it's amazing listening to you speak with the passion and like the experience that you've had. You know, I didn't realise, for instance, when you were in first year in Munchen's, Foley was like sixth year scaring the Cork schools, I think you said, and was just like the man around the place and continued. I didn't realise your relationship almost went back that far, or your experience of Foley in your life went back that far. And like, one of the... you don't have to talk about it in any depth, obviously, but the thing that stood out for me, the mad thing you had to do a couple of months ago, I didn't realise, was to ring your former teammates and let them know the news. And like, I don't even know where you begin to digest doing something like that.
Yeah, I know. It was more like watching someone else do it, because it's not something that you would have ever thought of. This is what I would do if this situation occurred.
Yeah.
We were sitting there and we were just going, what do we have to do here? And, you know, I wasn't emotional or anything at the time. And for the week after Axel, when we got back after the race again, like, I was a wreck every evening when I go home. But
do you mean physically or emotionally? Or?
Yeah, emotionally, right. Emotionally. You know, it was like almost like crisis management that, you know, on the day when we found out that Axel had passed, and just trying to manage things. And it was so weird. I was actually drawing up like a Munster team, a Shannon team, you know, and going through who do I need to ring and let them know first and foremost.
Yeah.
And it was so surreal. I was actually chatting to, I was in the car with David Wallace the other day and Paul O'Connell. And I said, I said, do you remember me ringing? And Wally said, yeah. He said, I was just about to go downstairs and get ready for the game. And next minute I saw you ringing me. And I said, why are you ringing? And I remember, because I remember ringing strings as well. And I remember, like, it was almost like I had a script and I would just get through it. And then I just hang up and get on to the next one. And it was so weird. Like, and when I think about Axel, like, Axel has been a constant in my life since I was, like I said, since I was 12.
Yeah.
And he always kind of guy like I'd have looked up to. When I played with Axel, I wasn't like, I didn't sit in the bus beside Axel. He was always someone that I deemed a little bit, you know, he was, I don't know, not untouchable. Like, Axel was the guy who was having a laugh with everyone, but I just felt like he was kind of a bit more special because I'd always looked up to him.
Yeah.
When I used to go into the pub when I was a kid, I'd listen to my dad and all his friends in there, and they'd be chatting about the rugby from the weekend, and they would talk about Foley non-stop. And the first time Axel played for Ireland against England, I remember, like, everyone from Shannon, we all came in and we were watching the game inside in the pub. I remember England hockeyed Ireland, but then Axel scored a try at the end, and everyone in the pub going bananas. And
yeah,
to see it then, like, to see... I spent a lot of time reflecting on it because, like, we had such a tough time at Munster. Like, sport is like, professional rugby is relentless in that it's week after week after week.
Yeah.
And you don't really get a time to sit down and just enjoy each other's company as much. And I suppose that's why I really enjoyed when we got to go to Spain, because you get to sit down, have a few pints with Axel and relax. And I just spent a lot of time thinking about how this guy who's always been a part of my life and someone I'd always looked up to and kind of aspired to is now gone, you know? And I never would have thought about Axel like that until he actually passed.
Yes,
and
I suppose
that's why that week when we train during the day and I go home and I just think about him all evening. And yeah, that was really, really tough, but he's just such a great man, and I know that he will be so proud now looking at where Munster is, and he'd be just kind of going, like, this is what I wanted, you know, right from the start.
Mm.
It's just a pity. It's a pity I had to die for you to get your head around it.
Yeah. Do Wallace and O'Connell and Stringer, do they remember you as being very emotional on the phone when you spoke to them?
I wasn't emotional when I rang them because it was, like I said to you, it was autopilot. It was just like, just trying to get through things because there was a deadline with the kickoff, because I knew that when someone goes down to put on the game and Sky Sports had a game's called off, we wanted to be able to tell them in person. So you didn't have time to be emotional. You just had to get through it. And that's why it was so weird. It's not like, you know, we were all emotional. We met up at the funeral and over the few days up to that. But at that stage, it was just like, listen, I've got really bad news. Are you okay there? And they're like, yeah. I said, listen, and just talked them through what happened.
Yeah.
And people were just in shock because the last thing they'd expect is to get a phone call from me telling them that kind of news.
I can imagine. A last question then, and I want to mention the event, the game on and the RDS as well. Are you surprised at just how well Munster have performed this season, or did you genuinely feel this was coming?
I'll be honest with you, I think I'm surprised. Only that, like, you look, I haven't had a huge amount of experience, so I haven't seen a team make a swing like that.
Mm.
Over a course of months. But it's taught me an awful lot. It's taught me an awful lot about, you know, if you get the culture right and empower the players, and, you know, if you get everyone motivated, and, you know, how different it can be, because we at times we looked so inept the previous season, and then to this season now we're, you know, we haven't always played fantastically well, but everyone knows what the plan is, and we can execute there even when the winds are ugly. And, you know, we may not win anything this year. We may drop off, but, you know, we're all getting better all the time, and, you know, we've got a few years now where we just need to get We need to be consistent with that and always be in the mix where we've always got a chance of winning something.
Yeah, I think the public sense that as well is the other important thing. I really have felt sorry for the players that had to follow your bunch, because that just wasn't easy. They've been compared with proper legends, and you know, it's like, I remember O'Connell very famously in that win away to Harlequins, they're speaking on Sky and just like trying to get it across to people just how much the young players cared. Like, okay, they hadn't won European Cups, but they cared just as much, and to give them a break almost, he was almost pleading with the public and trying to get that across. I think we're seeing that this year.
Yeah, Paulie wouldn't say that lightly, because if someone is not putting in the effort, he'll call them out, and he'll call them out publicly as well, if that's what needs be.
Yeah.
And to put it in context, if you look at Munster's history, like when you had all those, when you had like the likes of Hayes and Horn and Sheehan and O'Connell, like Munster hadn't, the benchmark had been like, get to a European Cup semi-final or a final and, you know, do your best. And if you did your best, that was enough.
Yeah.
And I think that that team managed to stay together for about 4 or 5 years, and eventually they made the breakthrough in 06. And then it kind of fed from there, and 06 went on to 08, and there was the league wins in 09 and 11. And I suppose you've in between that, you've got Irish success with Grand Slams and Triple Crowns and stuff like that. But that team was allowed a window to develop and stay together for maybe 4 or 5 years. And then when that team was gone, people wanted success. The benchmark was now silverware. And you had, like, maybe we didn't, the succession planning wasn't great in Munster at the time, because you literally had suddenly you just lost all of these experienced players and all these young kids out there, and they were expected to go and deliver silverware.
Yeah.
But if you give them, when you give them that period of time, which I think they're getting now, and there's that much more pressure on them as well to succeed. So I think that's probably what Paulie was trying to get across.
Yeah. A last point then. I know you and a lot of great people are very passionate about this game, this Legends game in the RDS on Friday.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. If I'm honest, I'm a little bit nervous about it as well, because I'm afraid I'm going to tear my calf, and you know, when I play, or I'm going to do a knee or something like that. But
how bad is your calf at this stage? Like, I worry about you getting out of your car some days.
No, I'm not that precious. No, I'm very functional. Like, I'm in great nick. But
You're looking great, Nick, from afar, and I see on Twitter, and like the diet is off the charts, and you know you're it's hipster, it's avocado, it's low carbs, it's great. But I just the calf muscle I worry about.
Yeah, well, look, we'll just have to roll the dice there, and if I do tear my calf, I think there'll be plenty of lads to step in there. I'm probably not even going to start. I don't know. Shane Byrne is the guy who generally organises this, and he's probably going to start himself, which is a bit mental, but look, if he keeps me fresh and I come on then, because I know that most of the English lads are probably going to be enormous, and I've probably just lost like a stone and a half since I've retired. So
right.
If I'm not on the field for the first 15 minutes when everyone's fresh and killing each other, that's not the worst thing in the world.
That's no harm. Well, people should get along RDS this Friday for Ireland against England Legends. Listen, sorry, we've kept you way too long, but it was fascinating stuff. The absolute best to look for the rest of the season as well, Jerry. Thanks so much.
Thanks a million, Joe. Very enjoyable.
Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.